You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Paul Dunn produces a stunning final round to win his first European Tour title at the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports.
My big focus was just to keep pressing, make as many birdies as I can and play aggressive, and happily it was enough. I mean, it hasn't sunk in yet, you know, I just can't wait to go home and see my girlfriend, see my family and celebrate with them.
And we'll speak exclusively to the Irishman later in the show. Dunn held off a spirited challenge from Rory McIlroy, who was delighted with his return to form.
Shooting 700. You think you'd have a great chance. Just shows how well Paul played today to shoot 61 and to win his first tour event is incredibly impressive. So he fully deserves it. I'm really happy with how I played. I don't feel like I could have done much more, but some weeks close to your best isn't quite good enough, and Paul was definitely the best man this week.
A review of the best of the action from Close House to come, plus tournament host Lee Westwood stops by for a chat, and we'll also look ahead to the next event, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. I'm Dan Roebuck, and today I'm pleased to say I'm joined by former European Tour player John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Remarkably well, and you should be pleased to say that. Yeah, so great weekend's golf.
A terrific venue for the tournament, and a course that you know, John.
Yeah, I was there a couple of years ago for a seniors event. Very nice golf course up in the northeast, quite hilly and undulated. Done a great job of designing it, and then of course Westwood, since he's become attached there, has had some influence. It was in great nick, fantastically supported. But it was a golf course that was a little bit testing, but some of the lads found, well, easily how to get around it, i.e. Paul Dunn shooting 61 on the last day.
Yeah, 61 on the last day to hold off a late challenge from Rory McIlroy to win his first European Tour title. Had it been coming? Is this a player that you'd been watching over this year thinking, yeah, he's a winner waiting to happen?
Yeah, I did think he'd win this year. He's been playing, he played all right in Denmark. He lost in a playoff in Morocco earlier in the year to Molinari. Remember, he led the opener after three rounds as an amateur in 2015, which hadn't been done, I don't think, since about 1927. He's a very talented player, strong player, and handled the pressure very well, because you've got Rory on the leaderboard towards the end, and he would hear the roars going around the course, obviously for McIlroy and the other players, but you just know when it's a McIlroy roar, and he had a couple of bits of luck, though, in fairness.
He did indeed. We'll get to that in just a second. He started the day one shot off the lead, started brilliantly, chipping in for birdie at the first, more gains at the fourth, great tee shot for birdie at the par three fifth, and then the stroke of luck at the 11th. What happened, John?
He hit his tee shot just in the right semi, and then he hit it down the fairway, and then he hit his second shot, just pulled it a fraction. It pitched in the back of the sprinkler, which is cut out with a great big hole cutter so that the thing can pop up, and then jump backwards and spun back towards the hole. Had it pitched an inch shorter, inch and a half, would have hit the sprinkler and could have gone anywhere. But he rode his luck, and it was quite amusing. I've never seen that in professional golf, either playing or watching. But sometimes you've got to have a break, and he did.
When the golfing gods are looking down upon you favourably, do you think, yeah, this is my day today? I know that you golfers get in the zone and don't like to take in any other outside influences, but you must get a bit of inspiration from something like that.
Well, you do, but you can't think this is my day. You know, there's a lot of players were playing well behind him. He had to pile the pressure on par 70 to shoot 61, 9 under on the final day. You're a bit unlucky if you don't win. All right, in the end, it was a pretty easy victory, three shots, because he chipped in again at the 18th. But McIlroy's weekend of 64-63 was very good indeed, 13 under par for two rounds ago. Because I remember in the second round, they were kind of talking about whether he was going to make the cut. And then to finish second, he missed a putt, I think, on about 15 left.
That was after three consecutive birdies. Does he think he's going to win then, do you think?
Well, I think he's certainly got a chance. He hit a great second shot off a side hill lie at 15. It's quite a tricky drive. But he got it into about 5 or 6 feet, and then it wasn't a great stroke he put on it. You can't hole everything, but at least he threatened the lead and waited in the clubhouse. I think he'd finished when Dunn was chipping on 17. He was only one ahead then. Then Dunn gets up and down from short of the green, which was tricky with the breeze off the right, to go two ahead. McIlroy pars the last, had finished watching the telly, done short sides himself, chips it in, three shot victory. It sounds quite easy, but it wasn't that easy.
You've got to be impressed with the last day, 61, but his course management seemed very good to me. He played the last and said afterwards that he knew what he had to do. He knew he could go long of the green, knew he'd get a drop, knew that he had shots in hand. He was looking at leaderboards all the way around. That's what you need to do, isn't it?
Well, not everybody does it. Robert Carlson said prior to his round...
This is ridiculous. Why don't people look at leaderboards? We have this conversation every single week.
Because the caddy knows what's going on.
Really?
Yeah, of course he does.
Sure?
Yeah, percentage. The caddy knows exactly what's going on. Some people... You know, no, sometimes you just play golf... You play as well as you can, shoot as low as you can. You can't do any more. Looking at a leaderboard isn't going to do you any good unless you're coming up the last with a two-shot lead and it's a really tricky hole and you lay up and you don't need to go for it. They just get on with it, a lot of them.
Birdie at 17 and a birdie at 18, as we mentioned, for Paul. Done fantastic playing, and there was a great reaction on social media as well. Padraig Harrington said, great day for Irish golf, a new winner on tour, hopefully the first of many for the next generation of young Irish golfers. Tommy Fleetwood said, how to win a golf tournament. Paul Dunn, fantastic performance. And Thomas Bjorn said, nice one, Paul Dunn. Awesome golf today, fending off a great player in Rory McIlroy. Hats off to Lee Westwood, a brilliant host as well. All the players really enjoyed the week.
Yeah, they did, and so did the fans, and they went in the thousands. The weather was kind to them as well. There was a little bit of rain from time to time, but nothing really to speak of, and the fans turned out in the thousands, and they had a great field. You know, Hatton, Garcia, McIlroy... Some good names there, and they all played well.
Well, it was a great week, and no one played as well as Paul Dunn, and I'm pleased to say that we now join by the latest winner on the European Tour. Paul, congratulations. How did it feel waking up this morning as a winner on the European Tour?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I woke up with a strong sense of satisfaction more than anything else, and a bit of a pounding headache, but I'll deal with that. That'll be gone in the morning, but the satisfaction will still be there. Yeah, it's nice. It was just nice to finally get over the line, you know, and prove to myself that I can get it done on Sunday when it matters.
We sensed that you were a winner waiting to happen. You went close, having been beaten in that playoff by Eduardo Molinari. Did you think that a win was just around the corner?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I thought my game was trending in the right direction, but I mean, it's hard to win. You know, I knew that good finishes were around the corner, and then once I got I knew I'd get a chance, and once I got the chance, then it was just a matter of taking it. You know, it's hard to know if a win is around the corner or if you're going to just have a fifth place finish. But yeah, I knew my game was in good shape and I was trending in the right direction, and everything that I've been struggling with through the year was improving and coming into a good place, and then everything, all my strengths were kind of staying where they were. So yeah, you know, it was obviously great to get the win.
Have you seen the playback yet of the second shot at 11?
Oh, my God, that's the luckiest shot I think I've ever seen.
It's very talented to pitch it in the back of that sprinkler and then get it to come back to the flag. That is proper talent. Did it also help you, Paul, that obviously Rory was on a charge at the weekend? Did that keep you really sharp, do you think, knowing that you'd hear roars around the course and you knew exactly who they were for?
Yeah, roars for roars. There was loads of leaderboards, so I kind of knew where I was sat all day. And then when I came down to kind of the start of the back nine, I knew it was going to be Rory or Robert Carlson to make a charge, and I was playing with Robert, so I could kind of keep an eye on him. And I knew, you know, obviously the caliber player Rory is, that he was going to do something, and he did. You know, you think he birdied for five of the last seven. Every time I looked at the leaderboard, he climbed up another shot. So, you know, I just knew if I could make no bogeys coming in, birdie the par five, 13th, and then pick up one more, then I'd have it won, you know, because he would have had to birdie, I think, every hole coming in to catch me then. So I knew that I was far enough in front to where he would have needed help from me to catch me. So that kind of kept me focused to just keep putting my foot down, taking care of my own business, and then seeing where it left me when I got to the last couple of holes.
As you say, you didn't back off. You still went for your shots. We've seen players in your position before maybe get a bit too defensive. Was it always the plan, just as you say, to go out and shoot the lowest score possible?
Yeah, I mean, I may have laid up on 17 if Rory didn't birdie 17, but I knew he hadn't played 18. I think I was 18 and he was 17. So I had 17 to play. He was on the last. So I knew if he birdied the last, he would have tied. So I would have had to make a birdie. And 17 was the chance for a birdie. And then when he didn't birdie the last, even then still, I was thinking, well, if I can birdie 17, it's over because I can bogey the last to win. Yeah, so I took on 17, hit driver, hit a great drive on the front edge and got up and down. But yeah, I mean, look, there's so many chances coming in. You know, there's also places where you can make bogeys, but with so many chances coming in, you just kind of have to keep the foot down because there's always going to be someone that makes a run. I think that's what I learned from Morocco. You know, when I thought I had that one and then Eduardo finished birdie eagle to get in the playoff, and you just can't really predict a strong finish. It's better off to just be in a position where nobody can catch you.
Your short game to me, Paul, seemed really sharp because obviously the golf course was a little bit damp and it was preferred lies, but you seem to handle those tricky little chips because I've been to that golf course. The greens are tricky. How pleased were you with that? Because they were pressure shots.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's one thing, you know, I found yesterday I started to hit it further when I got a bit pumped up. You know, I think 14 was an example of that. I was 297 to reach that bunker and I hit rescue, which goes normally 245 and somehow reached the bunker 297 way. I know it was downwind, but, you know, simple things like that, that I knew I was pumped up, but it was nice then that my touch held up. You know, I wasn't chipping all my chips way past. My feel was good around the greens. But I think that when it's soft and wet like that, the ball in hand really helps. You know, you can place it. You're always going to get a perfect lie, and you know you're going to be able to spin it the exact amount that you want to. But, yeah, you know, short game has always been kind of my strength. But it's nice to know that something can hold up when you need it most.
We've watched you, of course, have a very good amateur career, and many of the golf fans who watch European Tour golf would have seen your performance at the Open Championship a few years ago. Was there a little bit of pressure coming into the paid ranks and you've had to stay patient before that first win?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think last year I was fighting for to keep my card. You know, I had the Q school status, which doesn't get you in all of the big events, but I had enough opportunities to play well enough to keep a card. And I found myself in the top 10 a lot after two rounds, and started falling away on Sunday. And I think even though I wasn't challenging for wins, I was fighting. Every position made a big difference on the money list in terms of basically keeping my job for this year. So I struggled on Sundays first. I think I was going out trying to consolidate positions that I had rather than going out trying to, you know, with an attitude of moving forward and trying to climb as high as you could. So I think I learned a lot from that last year, and I've taken that into this year, and I've produced some good weekends, and it's definitely a year that really helped me get in the right mindset to win and to play well enough on the weekend.
Well, things have changed now, and here's a question. Would you like to play Ryder Cup in Paris?
Yeah, obviously, but there's so much to do before then. I'd have to qualify for the team. I don't think you could never rely on a pick, especially being someone with no experience in it. So to qualify for the team, I'd probably have to win at least two more times. So I think I'll just try focus on winning. That winning feeling is pretty nice.
If you continue to win, it almost takes care of itself, I guess, when it comes
exactly.
to the Ryder Cup. What is next? You're playing Alfred Dunhill this week. Have your plans changed at all between now and the end of the season? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think I get into that World Golf Championship in China. So I was going to play the Dunhill, the Italian Open, Valderrama, and then I was going to have a week off, and then I was going to play the final three events in Turkey, South Africa, and Dubai. But I'm going to skip Valderrama now because I get into the World Golf Championship in China. So I'm going to play the next two, take a week off, and then play the last four.
And you'll be turning left when you get on the flight now, I would imagine.
Yeah, I might treat myself. <I know.
laughs> just very briefly on this week, obviously St Andrews is where you sprung to prominence for many. You fancy your chances of going back-to-back?
Yeah, I mean, my game feels great. I'm actually up at St Andrews at the minute, but I'm looking out and there's the trees are blowing sideways, so I don't think I'll be doing much practice today. But yeah, you know, I like the courses. I like the setup. It's a great week. I was just saying to Shane yesterday, the thing I like most about the week is that we get to stop after nine into the halfway hut and have a coffee and a sandwich. You know, it's a very relaxed atmosphere all week at the Dunhill, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good week. My game's in good shape, but, you know, it's the same always with links courses. You've no idea what the weather will throw at you, so hopefully the weather stays relatively kind, and then I have another good week.
Well, get rid of the headache first, but well done.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Paul. Many thanks. Congratulations. We enjoyed watching you play, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks a million. Cheers. Thank you.
Great to hear from Paul Dunn, the latest winner on the European Tour. 21 putts was all he needed on the final day, incidentally, with 7 out of 7 scrambles. He hit 6 fairways and 11 greens in regulation during the final round, and his score of 126, that's 14 under, over the last 2 rounds, is the lowest closing 36 holes for a first-time European Tour win since David Llewellyn back in 1987. Do you remember David playing, John?
Oh, yeah, I remember David Llewellyn. Yeah, does a bit of coaching now.
Good player in his day.
Very good, yeah. I think he won the
good iron player.
World Cup with Woosnam.
I think he did. I think he did.
I'm right in the back of the memory bank now.
I'm struggling with my archive, but I think you could be right. Well, as mentioned, Rory McIlroy's return to European shores saw an upturn in form. His 7-under par 63 was his lowest round of the year, and it saw him finish in second place on 17-under par.
Yeah, it's been good. I feel like I've improved. And I feel like my game improved as I got into contention and had a sniff. And you know, even today, I wanted to shoot something similar to yesterday, and I was able to go one better. I set myself a target of 17 under. Going into the back nine, I was able to get to that. And again, you know, usually when I set myself a target and I get to it, I you know, the result is usually what I wanted to be, but this time it wasn't to be. And you know, Paul getting off to that really hot start just gave me a little bit too much to do, and he obviously finished the tournament great also. So. But I'm really happy with how I played. I don't feel like I could have done much more. And I'm looking forward to next week now.
Rory McIlroy back to form, John. We always like to see him up on the leaderboard. He wowed the fans up in the northeast.
He certainly did 13 under over the weekend. There was talk in the second round, is he going to make the cut, which fell at 2 under par. He shot 3 in the first round, and then he was struggling in the second round, got it round in 69 to be at 4 under, and then he came alive. And to be honest, he didn't look like he was on complete form. But he had some fantastic shots. That drive at 17 was very unlucky not to be stiff. It just didn't quite carry far enough. Huge hit. He did make birdie, but I think it made the difference. But he missed a putt, as I mentioned before, on 15. But all in all, you know, he's not had a great season. He's not won this year.
He's had injury problems, obviously.
Yeah, he's had injury problems. And there was the change of equipment as well earlier in the year, which can take some getting used to, but it's not like he's gone in a pro shop and picked him out. But he did look special. The crowd got behind him. And it was great that he played and gave Dunn a run for his money, finishing second on his own. So let's see how he does this week and whether it bodes well for the future.
Well, overnight leader Robert Carlson couldn't hang on for victory, but a closing 4-under par 66 saw him finish third, his best effort of the season.
It was good. Not good enough, but it was good. I played so much better than yesterday. Yesterday was a tough, tough day, and I was very, very excited to get off with 67. Today I played really, really nicely, and I put a bit of pressure on him, but he just kept going. So it was not much to do there, and I was just happy to put a really good final round together when I was finally in the last group. First time for about 100 years, it feels like.
It does indeed. Former Order of Merit winner. Fantastic player.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't really seen anything of him over the last few years. Great to see him mix it with the big boys once again, but he's kicking on towards 50 now, John.
Oh, yeah, he's a great player, but he's had his problems a few years ago. Where was it? 2012 at Lytham. He was on the 17th tee playing with Garcia, Adam Scott and Vijay Singh. I stood there. He couldn't get the club away and had to walk in a practice round. So he's had his ups and downs, but he has won the Race to Dubai before. And won over 10 times on the European Tour, and he's been a great player and can still play the game, make no mistake about it. He's a fit lad. And if you shoot 66 last round, that's a pretty good round, but it's only by somebody's brilliance that he's been done.
What was the issue those years ago, that incident you were talking about?
Mental.
Why? Just couldn't get the club away, couldn't go through with the shot?
Do you remember Eric Bristow, the dart player?
Dartitis.
Kept throwing it in the floor. There was a snooker player called Patsy Fagan when he had the rest out. It just went like a pair of ladders. You get a mental block.
And this is between the ears.
Oh, it's purely
this is not your game. This is not a physical thing.
No. It's purely between the ears. It's fear of failure. It's always fear of failure at sport that ruins you. Whether it's a penalty kick, holding from 6 foot, throwing a dart, putting a snooker ball. When you see pressure, it's fear of failure, not fear of success.
Well, Robert Carlson, thankfully, back to form, finished third. We need the full top 10 from the British Masters, John.
Right, well, we know that Paul Dunn prevailed in the end over Rory McIlroy by 3 shots. Then third was Robert Carlson that we just heard from. Fourth tied, Florian Fritsch, the German. David Lingmuth over from America, the Swede. Graham Storm, another great week. Seventh on his own, Shane Lowry, nearly got it together. Last week's winner, Lukas Biergaard, eighth tied with Tyrrell Hatton and also Richie Ramsey, and that's the top 10.
Just to pick out a couple of other performances that we've not mentioned, John, Tyrrell Hatton led at halfway.
He did.
And he had a decent lead as well. We know what a talented performer he is. Not had the 2017 that many expected.
I think he's fighting Pac-Man on his shoulder a little bit. I don't think he putted particularly well and got a little bit frustrated. He's a very talented player. I'm pleased that Shane Lowry as well made it inside the top 10. I think it's a great effort that Beauregard, after winning last week, got in the top 10 as well, because it takes it out of you. We've mentioned Rory. I'm pleased for Carlsen. Florian Fritsch, the man who doesn't fly, his season could be over now because he won't be flying to Dubai. He won't fly to Italy. He'd be able to go to St Andrews. I don't know what you do about this young man. I mean, he's obviously a very talented lad. Maybe you knock him out and just put him in the cargo hold.
What, you mean a bit like Mr. T in the A-team? Just knock him out and that's it and send him on the plane? Surely you can't do that.
No, I mean, just put him in the hold and then wake him up when
we
get there.
With his clubs?
Absolutely.
He might save a bit of money, I guess.
Another sweater will be fine.
Well, it really was a fantastic event at Close House up in the northeast of England, and that was largely down to the efforts of tournament host Lee Westwood, and I'm delighted to say that the former world number one joins us on the Race 2 Dubai show. Lee, a great event. You must be thrilled with how it went.
Absolutely delighted, yeah. Everybody seemed to have a great time, and I think the players enjoyed it. The crowds that turned up enjoyed it. I think everybody that hosted it enjoyed hosting it, so... Yeah, it was a great success.
Was it hard, Lee, to keep your focus on your own game as well? Because, of course, you're there to compete and you're there to win. But hosting the event would bring different pressures. Did you enjoy that experience?
I did enjoy it, yeah, but it was a little bit sticky. I was on my golf at times. Found myself sort of coming in the morning, not thinking about what I was going to swing it like or my swing thoughts. I was thinking about how many people had turned up. You know, the crowds were good and the car park's too muddy. But it all went well in the end. So, and I played okay. Got myself into contention after a couple of days. So, and obviously it was a great finish to the tournament with Paul chipping in at the last to win and beating Rory. Had just about everything.
I don't think you need to worry about the spectators. 70,000 across the week. They like their golf up there, don't they?
They love it. They love the sport, and you know they like the golf and. They support all the sporting events that are in this area, and like you said, 70,000 turned up, which was record crowds for the British Masters since it's been brought back.
I was there a couple of years ago, Lee, when they had the senior event. Were you instrumental in changing the layout round then for this British Masters? Because of course, the 18th that was used, you know, up till yesterday, isn't the normal 18th, is it?
No. That's the hole on the golf course that they could get them. The most stands around that had the most room, and it just made sense to have that routing, to have the first tee where it was, the 10th tee where it was, close to the range, the first tee close to where everybody came in from the car parks, and the 18th green close to where everybody came in from the car parks. And the 18th hole on the regular golf course was the 14th, and it's got a wall running in front of it, and I didn't want that as the 18th hole for the tournament. And also around that hole you couldn't get enough people around it for a big atmosphere finish.
Well, the changes seem to work because the fans loved it. You helped raise £500,000 for the official charity, the Graham Wiley Foundation as well. You finished 15th, Lee, but you did have a bit of success in the Hero Challenge. Did you enjoy that on the Tuesday?
I did. I think it's a great warm-up event. I think, you know, the pros enjoy playing in it. It's something a little bit different. The crowds like it, you know, night golf under light, like a match play format. And I think the 18th hole, would it be in a par 3, lent itself to that. So I think it was about 4,000 people turned up to that.
It's been a pretty special year in a way, hasn't it? Because you've just played your 500th event as well. And then, of course, it's the Dunhill Links this week, a place that you've won before. It's all good for you at the moment. You look to be swinging it great.
Yeah, I'm playing well. I've finished 9th in the Czech Republic and 3rd in Holland and then 15th this week. So my form's good. And like you say, I've played well at the Dunhill before. I won there and... 8 years ago now.
2003?
14 years ago. It must be like 5 minutes.
When hickories were in fashion.
Yes. And gutta percha.
You are playing well. You're knocking on the door. Have you got Ryder Cup in mind for next year? You're going to qualify again? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know, but I'll be trying to, yeah. Obviously, actually, Thomas Bjorn was round at my house last night and we were discussing it. And if I'm not in the team, which I'd love to be, I'll hopefully be there in some format. So I think everybody thinks about the Ryder Cup once it starts, the qualifying starts, and I've got off to an okay start. So I need to string some good results together now.
And this week, mentioned the Dunhill Links. It's going to be a different test, isn't it, to what it was at Close House?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a lot firmer with it being links golf. There'll be a lot more wind blowing. Having said that, I'm at Close House this morning, and there was 40 mile an hour wind whipping across the golf course. It would have been a nightmare if this had blown last week. But we got quite lucky with the weather. Obviously, the first day was glorious, and then the last 3 days we had a little bit of rain, but we had sunny intervals and not too much wind blew. So I'll have to modify my game for St Andrews. Change the clubs in the bag. Be carrying a few more long irons, a few less wedges, and obviously hit a few punch shots that we didn't have to this week. That's how professional golf is. It's all about adapting.
Yeah, it's always interesting, certainly, to see you play the links courses. And it was a great week at Close House as well. Well done for that. Good luck for the rest of the year. We hope to see you in Paris, of course, next year. Lee, thanks for joining us on the Race 2 Dubai show.
Well done, Lee.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Well, always great to hear from Lee Westwood on the Race to Dubai show. And speaking of Lee, he was one of Paul Eel's tips in the Fantasy Race to Dubai tips last week. Lee, of course, finished 15th. Matt Fitzpatrick finished 11th. Another one of slippery selections. I went for Jordan Smith, who missed the cut, and Nacho Elvira, who finished tied 11th at 11 under. Not bad from us two, John.
Oh, well, I don't think you should be pleased with that, the pair of you. 15th and 11th, never been a pick.
Yeah, it's good enough to keep our cards for next year.
Well done.
In the Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game, Elizabeth H leads the overall standings, while Greg Sibley, with his team, Greg's Giants, scored the most points this week after having Paul Dunn as captain and runner-up Rory McIlroy as well. Meanwhile, in our Race 2 Dubai show mini-league, listener Philip Welsh registered the most points this week with a certain Robert Lee in second, but Neil Morrison is still atop the leaderboard. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at this week's Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Moving on to the Race 2 Dubai, we need the top 10 in the standings, John.
Well, it's still led at the moment by Tommy Fleetwood from Sergio Garcia Masters champion. Then John Rahm is third, Rafa Cabrera Bow fourth, Alex Noren fifth, Rory now sixth, Francesco Molinari seventh, Justin Rose eighth, Ross Fisher ninth, and Bernd Wiesberger 10th.
To other news now, and the European Tour has announced its full schedule for the 2018 season, featuring three new tournaments in Belgium, Oman and the Philippines, starting with the UBS Hong Kong Open on the 23rd of November. The 2018 Race to Dubai will take in 30 different countries and will include 8 Rolex Series events each, with a minimum prize fund of $7 million. For the 10th year in a row, the Race to Dubai winner will be crowned at the season-ending DP World Tour Championship at Jumeirah Golf Estates in Dubai. Some good events have been added to the schedule, John, including a trip to Oman.
Yeah, and I've been to Oman a couple of times.
So have I.
And I have
beautiful
to,
place.
Have you been to their canyon, which is equal to the Grand Canyon in the States?
No, I haven't.
And they have a rainforest there.
I've not been to the rainforest. I've seen the turtles on the beach.
It's incredible. I really like Oman. I've been lucky enough to
place.
Be there
beautiful.
A few times. So, yeah, Oman... Belgium back
Belgium's
on
a
again.
New format as well, I believe, John.
Yeah, match play involved in it as well. So the tour of being innovative again, which is great to see. And the Philippines. I mean, the Philippines is a great country. Have you been there?
No.
It's a great, great place to go.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to head to Philippines, a new venue, new country on the European Tour. Well, Victor Perez claimed a maiden European Challenge Tour title in some style at the Challenge de España, making a hole-in-one, the first of his career, on his way to a closing round of 65 and a 3-shot victory. For the 7th consecutive time, the United States have won the President's Cup, beating the international team by 19 points to 11 at Liberty National in New Jersey, requiring just half a point heading into Sunday's singles. Kevin Chappell got the job done with victory over Mark Leishman. The US team at the moment
strong
is very, very good, John.
Yeah, the backbone of it is immensely strong. The Ryder Cup's at Paris National next year, which is the next time they'll all turn out together. Obviously, it may change a little bit, but you've...
But the big boys are going to be there, aren't
well,
they?
Well, you've Reed, Berger, Thomas, Spieth. I mean, the backbone, that's a quarter of the team. I'm trying to put 4 into 12 then. No, they're very strong indeed. But, the international team are a good, good team. Matsuyama, Vegas, Scott, Grace, Oosthuizen.
Why have they struggled then?
Well...
Not just the week gone, but in previous renewals.
I think that the Americans might have a slightly different mindset on it. They obviously gel together better, but it's a trouncing, really. It could have been a lot worse. But those Americans, when they come over to the Ryder Cup, all right, it's a European crowd predominantly, but I think they're going to be a handful.
And speaking of Le Golf National, of course, yes, the seniors were there, John, just the week gone, and a win for Paul Broadhurst.
Yes, he prevailed by a couple of shots over the American John Daly, which was great to see. On that Paris National Golf Course, obviously, the tees wouldn't have been right at the very back where the regular tour player, but he's played well this year, Broadhurst. Of course, he won the Senior Open last year and also retained again in Scotland, been over in America, he's won this year. He's a handful, and so is Daly, and the crowd were duly entertained. I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow.
And finally, Tiger Woods has said he may never be able to play competitive golf again as he continues to recover from his latest back operation. When asked if there was a scenario in which he might never compete again, the 14-time major champion said, "Yeah, definitely. I don't know what my future holds for me." It's going to be a real shame if we don't see him play competitive golf again, isn't it, John?
I'd rather see him not play again than struggle and have to walk off and shoot in monstrous scores and, you know, from his own mental state. You've got to remember he's won 14 majors. He's been an incredible golfer. He's 41 years of age now. He's not 23. He's set the benchmark. And if he decides not to play again, then let him make that decision. But I don't want him to come back and be kind of living on memory lane when he's just not able to compete because sponsors and all that sort of malarkey want him out there. We'll see what happens to him. First of all, he's got to get himself sorted out.
Let's wrap up this section with the top 10 in the world rankings, John.
Led by Dustin Johnson at the moment from another American, Jordan Spieth. Then Hideki Matsuyama's third, another American, Justin Thomas fourth, John Rahm fifth, Rory sixth, Jason Day seventh, Ricky Fowler eighth, Henrik Stenson ninth, and the Masters champion Sergio Garcia is 10th.
So let's look ahead to this week's event now as the European Tour crosses the border from England to Scotland for the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship at St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes. Tyrrell Hatton returns to defend the title he won by 4 shots last year, which included a St Andrews course record 62 on the Saturday. Fantastic event, something a little different, John. We've got the celebrities, the amateurs alongside the professionals.
We have, yeah, Pro-Am format, which runs all week. You have to qualify to get through to Sunday, play all three golf courses. I mean, it's an expensive event to play in, but you get to play some great golf with some great players. Hopefully the weather's going to be pretty good. It normally is on the East Coast at this time of year. You're itching to say something.
I'm just about to say, do they set up the likes of Carnoustie a little easier for the amateurs? Because surely Carnoustie at this time of year, if it was set up like it might be for an Open, would be very tough for those that don't play the game professionally.
It won't be groaning like an Open, but it'll still be a stern test. It's a pro-am format, you know, it'll be one ball to count. But you've got to deal with it. There'll be crowds watching. That's something they won't be
used to.
Oh, yes, there'll be plenty of big crowds. But the St Andrews town itself comes alight. It's a great place because it's right on the edge of the golf course. It's like you opening the kitchen door and there it is, right in front of you. That's what it's like at many of the places in St Andrews. It's a great week. I love it.
Celebrity amateurs as well. The likes of Sir Ian Botham, Jamie Dornan. Do you know who he is, John?
I think he was a 50 Shades of Grey actor.
Is that a film that you've watched recently?
No, I actually read the end of it to see what happened. It was very interesting.
Others to swing clubs this week: Luis Figo, Peter Jones,
yeah,
Ronan Keaton, Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh, knockout! Yeah. Look forward to that.
Luis Figo, I think, is going to play with Matt Fitzpatrick, isn't he? They're good pals.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and Peter Jones, of course. I might turn up. I've had a fantastic idea with a handkerchief.
Yeah,
see what he thinks.
For that reason, John, I'm out. So Steve Redgrave is also teeing up.
Yeah, he's rowing there, I believe.
Is he really?
You're turning up on the beach where they film Chariots of Fire and they'll drag him in. No, I mean, it's a massive field with three golf courses and it's always a huge event. So, you know, for the likes of the top boys, Kiemer, Harrington, Westwood, McIlroy, but they go right through all the categories and then split them up over the 3 days and rotate it.
What about Rory McIlroy's chances, having finished second at Close House?
Well, it'll be a different week. As Lee said, links golf is different golf. Yeah, he's got a chance to play. There'll be a few fancying their chances.
He's finished second 3 times in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship and went close in the Open in 2010. what's got to go right for him to win this week? Is it the putting that's just a little off?
Well, you've got to stay out of the bunkers on St Andrews. The breeze is going to play its part. Yeah, the greens won't be as fast as they would be in July, but if you get some breeze on them, I think it's forecast to be breezy certainly Thursday, Friday. You've got to keep the ball down. There's not a lot of rough on St Andrews. You hit it left going out and left coming back, because the golf course was designed to be played the other way around, did you know?
I didn't know that. Tommy Fleetwood was second in this event a few years ago. He's had a great season. His form's dipped a little recently, though.
Well, he's had other things on his mind, Tommy Fleetwood. Just become a dad, hasn't he?
He has indeed, and congratulations to Tommy and his partner. What about Brandon Grace, former winner, but played President's Cup, didn't he, last
year? Yeah, might be a bit tired. We'll see. I mean, he's a fit guy. Yeah, he's very good around St Andrews. He might be one to watch. In fact, many are fancying him.
We mentioned Luis Figo. He's playing with Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt was a winner of the European Masters just a few weeks ago. What about the Sheffield star winning this week?
He has the game to be able to keep it down. It's so hard to pick a winner. I mean, when we get to tips, I think I've actually got it nailed on this
time.
Well,
I'm going through the sort of bigger names at the moment. I sense that we've not got to your selection just yet. Let me throw one more name at
you.
Go
on, then.
Martin Kaymer has had an inconsistent campaign, but he's come good in this event previously, winning 2010.
Yeah, he's a class player. Do you know, I'm not so sure Kaymer's ever got over that lead that he had, that massive lead he had in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago when he led by 10. I may be completely wrong, but he just hasn't shown it to me that maybe this week he could rekindle and get his hands on another trophy. We'll see. I mean, the game has changed significantly in recent years. There are so many good players around now. To pick a winner is hard, but I might have him this week.
Come on, then. We need some selections. You can have one favourite, if you like, and one outsider. What are you going for?
I'm going for Shane Lowry.
Because?
Because he's been playing well, not quite ticking on all cylinders, but I think a good week's around the corner. I'm going for Mark Warren as my outsider.
OK, I'm going to go for Chris Wood as an outsider. Does he class as an outsider, Chris? He's playing all right recently.
He's playing all right, but, you know, he has
good records on links courses.
Good record on links. Nearly won the Open Championship at Birkdale, I believe it was. Anyway, my picks, as I say, are Lowry and Warren.
Yeah, I've still got a second one to come. I'm going to go for Torbjørn Olesen. Your thoughts on Torbjørn, John, before I tell you why he's going to win?
Danish. Been playing well recently. I think that's a very good pick.
It's a shrewd pick, isn't it? He won in 2015, final round 71, but still got the job done. So they're my selections.
And I think he was struggling to keep his card at that time.
He might have been, but he kept his card in spectacular fashion. That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll review events in Scotland and also look ahead to the next instalment in the Rolex series, the Italian Open, at Golf Club Milano. Looking forward to that one. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from John Hawksworth,
enjoy St Andrews.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.